Hey there, Megan.
Hello. Guess what?
What?
We have a guest today.
What?
We promised everybody in the first episode that they would not have to listen to just us.
We did.
So today, we actually have a guest on this episode. We have our good friend, Alicia, joining us.
Say hi, Alicia.
Hi.
That is not her real voice. Say hi. Say hi.
Hello.
Okay. Yep, that's more like it. Today, we are doing our body image episode. And we really wanted Alicia to be on this episode with us because she has always had, we've known her for a long time, she's always had such a strong voice when it comes to body positivity, and she has so many examples of ways that, you know, people have provided commentary on her own body, and she has addressed that in such a great way. And I always just think of Alicia as like an ambassador for body positivity, and she always amazes me with her resiliency and how strong she is in maintaining her message and her voice no matter what. So I really wanted to have her on this episode, and I think she's the perfect choice. Plus, you know, she's one of our best friends.
So. Agreed. She's super fun. Welcome, Alicia.
Thank you. Thanks for saying all that.
You're welcome.
It's all true.
Thanks for being here.
You know, we were thinking about how young kids are when they start realizing that someone else is paying attention to what they look like or their body. And in trying to think about, like, what's the first thing I remember or the longest back I can remember someone saying something. And I remember being in fifth grade and in the lunchroom and having some other girls ask me to stretch my arms out, like, to the sides so that they could see whether I had any boobs under my red mock turtleneck.
I love that you were wearing a mock turtleneck.
I mean, it was like 1990.
When they asked you to do that, did you know why they were asking you?
I did not.
Okay.
No, but then they started giggling and...
Did they have boobs?
I don't remember. I don't know. I honestly don't remember. What do you, like, what was your first experience with that, Alicia?
The earliest I can remember is being about 12 years old. So I was about sixth grade. And I was in Catholic school at that time. And one of the girls in my class had a pool party. And I feel like it was more of like a modesty thing because I grew up Catholic and like wasn't allowed to wear spaghetti strap tank tops to the dinner table. So I feel like it was more on the modesty part. But I remember to wear a one piece. Like my mom was like, no, you're wearing a one piece. You're 12. And, but then when I got to the pool party, all the girls were wearing bikinis. And I remember looking at their stomachs and thinking, oh, I'm probably wearing a one piece because I don't look like them. So I shouldn't be wearing a bikini, which of course down the road, my mom made that clear also. But, I kind of feel
made
like
made that clear that that's why she said you needed to wear a one piece.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I also, I think the, it was a big modesty aspect as well, okay. But that's the earliest I can remember feeling conscious about it and noticing that my body was a little different than the other 12-year-olds.
Right. Huh. What about you, Megan?
Probably the first time I ever even realized anyone else was paying attention to my body at all was a comment that my mom made when I was probably like 11, and we were talking about changes in body through like maturity. And she said to me, well, be forewarned. I think probably when you get your period, you're going to shoot up over 100 pounds. And I sort of had this moment of panic because I was like, oh my God, I'm already over 100 pounds. And I was ashamed to tell her because obviously she didn't expect me to be. So then I thought, oh God, like, am I not supposed to be that weight? Like, are people pay attention to this? And so that was the first time that I realized that other people pay attention to how much you weigh, what your body looks like. Even though it was my mom, I still had that sudden realization like, oh, other people are paying attention to this. Maybe you should too.
It's crazy that we all started thinking about that so young, but I don't think it's uncommon at all. Research has shown that roughly half of 13-year-old American girls have reported being unhappy with their bodies. And that number grows to like 80% by the time they reach 17 years old. Because we're all bombarded, even as small kids, with messages and judgments about weight.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I think so much of that is the role that the media plays in creating unrealistic expectations about, you know, what women's bodies should look like. I mean, don't you guys think?
Yeah, definitely. Magazines, movies.
We found one study, or one article that listed a few studies, I should say, that more than 2/3 of children's videos linked thinness and physical attractiveness to positive personality traits like caring and kindness, while 75% of those same videos linked obesity with unfavorable traits.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we all read that same article. The thing that stood out to me is there was a comment in there about how female characters were more likely, if I think it said 4 times as likely as male characters, to be depicted as underweight. So even in cartoons, they are drawing women to be underweight. So when children are very young, you know, before they're even thinking about this kind of stuff, they're looking at female characters or male characters, because this isn't exclusive to gender, and thinking that that is what's normal. I mean, Alicia, what do you think are things that, like, when a young girl is shopping with her mom or something and sees a magazine cover, are kind of like traps or tricks that could make that young girl think that what she's looking at is normal or an accurate depiction of a woman's body that aren't?
I think photoshopping pictures we see online or in magazines has become a lot more obvious. People are pointing out, they are seeing like the curves that they're putting in. Like, you can see the curve in an indent in the body where they obviously like cinched the waist or cinched the thigh or cinched the arm. Because so sometimes you see those pictures and you're like, Jesus, that's as big as my leg. And I'm like, that makes me feel like shit.
Right. But it makes you feel like shit and you know that they're doing that. I mean, if right. you're a 13-year-old girl who doesn't really understand photoshopping or airbrushing, they might think like, wow, look what that mm-hmm. female looks like. And, you know, maybe I'm 13 and I'm already bigger than that. And so it begins, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With the destructive self-talk.
Absolutely. I think growing up, I always remember people asking what size you were when I was younger, like mm-hmm. 6th grade, 7th grade. And it was like a competition. And I was taller than everyone and not like I was heavy back then when I was a kid, but just thicker, a thicker kid, a curvier kid. And I would be like a 6 and everybody else would be like a 4 or something. And I was just like, why are we talking about our numbers? Like, you didn't want to say it. You wanted to lie. You wanted mm-hmm. to say what the models were. And so I remember that being a heavy thing, is like talking about what size you were and the comparison between girls at a young age.
Absolutely.
Which is not good.
No. And I mean, if you think about the typical size of a model, you know, I think they're a size 6 maximum. They're usually like mm-hmm. a 0, 2, maybe 4.
Anything above that's probably considered a plus
size. Oh, yeah. Model. I think at size 8, you're considered a plus size model, which is just such bullshit. But the average American woman is actually like a size 16 to 18. Isn't that what you found?
That's what one article I read was. And I mean, granted, that number is going up.
Yes.
And that could be as a result of a more sedentary lifestyle, you know, that people are, I mean, there's a weight issue in America for sure. So we're not saying we don't acknowledge that. But a girl that is average or below average is looking at unrealistic, doctored, modified photos in a magazine, thinking that it means that she's fat, and then likely resorting to resources that she has on things like social media to make herself appear slimmer or more attractive, because that's available to them. I mean, that wasn't available to us when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have the opportunity to alter our appearance with technology. Mm-hmm. So you got what you got, right?
Right.
But that's not the case anymore. I mean, and kids are so good at technology and they can figure it out so fast. I mean, I think young girls appreciate having this tool to help make themselves look like what they envision they want to be. Mm-hmm. And that's a little scary because where does it stop, right?
Well, and the filters alone are just...
Yeah, let's talk about the filters.
Filters are... You can literally look like a different person.
Yeah.
I try not to use filters. I like the funny ones. Yes. Put, like a cat ear on you or something, but...
I'm not actually a pizza, everybody. Right.
But the ones that completely, like, suck in your face and put, like, a glow over you that, like, that erase my freckles or something. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's not my skin. That's I have freckles. Me. Or I have a zit today. And I get about wanting to, like, maybe not have that be exposed, but let's not use so many filters to totally change the way our face looks to mm-hmm. where you're unrecognizable.
And I feel like this is something that drives me crazy. Even people that are famous and in the public eye that are probably more like an average size or maybe just a like very slightly overweight for a normal woman, but is considered very overweight by Hollywood standards. Mm-hmm. They're sort of, I feel like, expected to make light of or poke fun at themselves over their size in order to be successful. It's like a deal with the devil, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, and I'm talking about people like, you know, Rebel Wilson. I mean, I talked about in a prior episode how my kids are obsessed with the movie Pitch Perfect right now, and we watch it all the time, but you know, she calls herself Fat Amy in that movie, and I freaking love that movie. It's hilarious, but I literally cringe at that part every time because she feels like she has to make fun of her weight in order to get a few laughs and get people to appreciate her because people must obviously be thinking it, right? And then other examples, Amy Schumer, Aidy Bryant, Melissa McCarthy, I mean, all actresses that I think are talented and beautiful and that I love, but God, I just hate how their weight always has to be a joke, right?
Or they're, if not that, then they're cast in some kind of frumpy or...
Like Amy Schumer has to write Trainwreck to star in it, right? I mean, yeah, would someone else cast her in that role?
So and true. She had to lose weight to do it mm-hmm. still, even though it was her movie.
She had to lose weight to play the overweight girl.
Yeah, right?
Well, I think of like the movie Isn't It Romantic with Rebel Wilson, and I thought that movie was not very good, to be honest.
That's what I've heard.
I thought it was poorly done. However, I think it was because it was so much making fun mm-hmm. of how this would be such an unrealistic situation for her because she's normal size of an American woman. Mm-hmm. And it wouldn't have been... They would never cast somebody her size to play, like, in 13 Going on 30. Jennifer Garner, right. Is that her? Mm-hmm.
Garner, yeah.
Yeah. And that was a sweet, fun, really romantic movie. And it was awesome. I loved it. And there were funny parts. But the Isn't It Romantic totally flopped because I think they were just making fun of it too much.
Well, kind of like I Feel Pretty with Amy Schumer. I mean, I actually really like that movie.
Love that movie.
It's not as great or probably as acclaimed as Trainwreck because, I mean, once again, it's a story about, like, the pretty fat girl, right? Mm-hmm. Which is such fucking bullshit because... Mm-hmm. Number one, she's not fat. She is normal, and she is beautiful and hilarious, and it just sucks that she is expected to play by that rule in Hollywood because she's not like a size 2, right? Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know.
Well, what happens when someone who is bigger in the public eye loses weight? They get criticized for that, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like Adele.
Yeah. She just lost a bunch of weight, and everyone has just as much to say about her body now, in a negative way, frankly, as they did then.
Even to the point of saying something like, I liked you better fat. Right. I'm like, oh, my God.
Are you fucking serious? Are people saying that?
Oh, yeah.
She can't win. No one can win.
No.
And it's impossible. It does seem like she lost weight fast, but I mean, I don't know how she lost weight. Like, it's not my position to comment.
I'm not her nutritionist.
Well, I'm not commenting on her body, you know, and the fact that people feel free to go online and just say shit like that or, mm-hmm. you know, tweet at her or even just post anything in a public forum at all. about her body is just disturbing. I can't think of another word to say it. So.
No, we're also used to it, though. It's sad, but it's the way that things have been, and we need to change that.
So, you know who I fucking love, who I think is such a great body-positive role model?
It's me, isn't it?
Well,
obviously.
That's not even a guessing game. Everybody here I fucking love. I'm talking about famous people that would never hang out with us, probably.
Oh,
I was referring to Lizzo.
One
thing that I love about her is that, first of all, she's so unapologetic about who she is. She's like, I am here, I am beautiful, I am a thick, you know, like curvy, beautiful woman, and I have a talent, and I'm putting it out there, and I don't give a shit what you think about me.
Absolutely.
And I see my two young daughters respond to that. Like, they love Lizzo. They sing her songs, they watch her videos, they talk about her. And I've never once heard them say a thing about her weight. And
I love that. Oh, that's awesome.
Because to them, it's like, she doesn't allow that to overshadow her talent. And so that's what they're focused on, is her confidence and her talent. And that's what I want them to see.
It's not a thing that's up for discussion. It's not anybody's fucking business. I think the idea that anyone can comment on anyone's body just is ridiculous. My daughter is actually really skinny, and I don't want anyone talking to her about that either, because it doesn't matter. You know, I know she's healthy. Her doctor knows she's healthy. It does not matter to anyone else what she looks like, but people still decide to make it their business and make comments.
It's just as easy to develop an insecurity about being perceived as too skinny or too small or... Mm-hmm. You know, than it is to develop an insecurity about feeling like you're overweight.
Yeah.
Comment about Lizzo. Love her. One thing I love about her is that she, on her Instagram, posts so many videos and pictures of her in her, like, lingerie or...
Mm-hmm.
I think one time I even watched her and her friends. I think it was for her birthday. She did a pole dancing class.
Hell yeah.
And she filmed, like, the whole thing. And some people might look at that and be like, that is a real skimpy outfit for someone of her size. But I just was thinking, I love it because... Some people have thought that about me and my body in a bikini. And she wears fucking bikinis or really skimpy one pieces that have cutouts and stuff. And I'm like, you know, that all the phrases of get summer ready or summer bod or your body better be bikini ready. She is an example of every body is
a bikini body.
Mm-hmm. And 100%. I love that.
I love it when you go to like Hawaii or Mexico or like, you know, some kind of coastal town in general, and you see people who live that lifestyle every day just like walking on the beach and all shapes and sizes and just wearing bikinis or whatever the hell they want to wear because they just don't give a fuck.
Well, they're not doing it for you.
Exactly.
They're doing it for themselves.
They're not there to look pleasing to you.
No.
They're wearing what they want to wear, what they feel comfortable in, and
it's like, I want my stomach tan too, not just my arms and my legs.
Right?
That is so true, Megan, of wearing what you feel comfortable in because, again, another life experience. I think it was a year ago, New Year's Eve, I was having a hard time finding an outfit and all my dresses. When I go out, I like to wear nice, tight, skimpy dresses because I am curvy and I do like the way it looks in my body. But that night, I wasn't feeling it. And my tummy section was just not... the happiest thing to look at for me.
It was right after the holidays, though.
True. And I was devouring food and drinks that month.
Get it.
So,
YOLO.
So I decided to wear a sequins tank top, which had shown like an inch of my midriff because I had a high-waisted skirt, cotton skirt, stretchy. And of course, from the side, I had like a little tummy pooch. And my friend was kind of like, no to that dress and not yes to that dress and kind of like critiquing my outfits. And he was like, I don't know if you should wear that. Like, I don't know. And I looked at him and I was like, I know you don't think I look good in this outfit, but I actually feel the most comfortable and confident in this. And he was like, okay, yeah, like, whatever you say, like, totally fine. And I just had to say it because I could feel him kind of judging, like, if I was her size, I wouldn't wear that. And I was just like,
Didn't he actually say to you, I think you should change at one point?
Oh, I think he did. Yes. He did say, I think you should change because he's my friend and we're comfortable and he's done that before. But I felt like it was coming from a, your body shouldn't wear that outfit.
And I mean, this is going back to what I said in the beginning. This is why I think of you as like a body positivity ambassador.
Thank you.
Because you're willing to look that person in the eye and be like, you know what? I fucking feel comfortable in this. I like it. I feel good. This is what's happening. And a lot of people in that situation would just be like, oh, God, you know, this is my friend judging me. So many more people are going to judge me if I go out, and it would be damaging. But
so true.
So, I don't know. I mean, that's hard.
I think we've probably all had experiences where someone has said to us, you know, is that what you're going to wear? I mean, I can think of an example where we were all in the room and someone asked someone else that. And the entire room, like, record scratch stopped.
God, that was awkward.
And didn't that person say, yes, I am, and fuck you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As she should have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because what the fuck, dude?
But it was, like, amazing that that person felt that they could say all the way across the room, like, oh, hey, is that what you're wearing out tonight? And there was just a tone, and it was, fuck, it was awkward.
I think we should add, we won't say who it was, but that the person that said this was a man, and a room full of women, and men feeling like they can say things about women's bodies or what they're wearing. And I was just, I mean, we just shut it down.
Yeah, we did.
What about, Alicia, I feel like you've told me a story once about one time you were like wearing a bikini with your girlfriends at a bachelorette party and there was a photo or something. You want to tell that story?
Yes. I was 24 and I was wearing a bikini and I am 5'10". Let's get that out there. And a lot of my girlfriends are between 5'3 and 5'6". And so next to them, I look like I hate the word bigger, but a bigger person because I'm tall in general. And yes, I'm curvy. And I was, you know, had my arms around these two short girls that were like 5'4 and 5'5. And we were all in bikinis. And I remember I posted the pictures on Facebook and my mom brought the picture up to me, to my attention, and was like zooming in on it and was like, do you really think your body is like bikini, like ready, basically? I can't remember the exact words, but that's basically what she said.
Ugh. Was and she, like, comparing you to your friends?
I think so. Is, like, ridiculous because I'm 5 inches taller
it's
than
like
them.
It's like comparing an apple to a raisin.
Right.
Like, it's not the same.
And my mom is tall, too, so I'm kind of like...
Is that not how that goes?
Not what I thought you were
going to
say.
What did you think she was going to say?
I don't know. People always say apples and oranges.
I know.
Apples and raisins.
That was random. The raisin was random.
Like, quite a scale.
I wanted to highlight the difference.
Okay.
Yeah, it's odd to me, the comment. Like, I felt odd that she made that comment because my mom is tall as well. However, when she was my age, she was like a stick.
Real thin.
Very thin.
Yeah.
And
different
that's
body types.
Just her body type. If you look at my uncles, they're really thin too, her brothers. So, yeah, I just couldn't believe. And then I felt like shit. I was like, oh my God, should I not be in a bikini? I can't believe she just like brought this to my attention because I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
I was just like with my girlfriends drunk at a bachelorette party.
And honey, I've seen that picture and you're fucking gorgeous.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's like literally like 30 pounds lighter than I am right now.
Right.
So the fact that's even crazy.
And maybe your mom is tall, like you were tall, but that does not mean that, you know, you have the same body type. I do think that some people might be more genetically predisposed to be heavier than others. I've always thought that.
For sure, even within a family. My mom is pretty petite, and I'm not. I'm very average size, and she's always been much more petite. But I have, like, my grandma's body.
Well, okay, so there is actually some scientific research, though, that supports the theory that it's not just a theory, that it can be in your DNA to be heavier than others.
Absolutely.
Your genetics can contribute to like 25%, I think we read, of a predisposition to be overweight for some people. And other people, it's as high as 70 to 80%.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. I mean, it basically means that you're not getting any weight loss done completely on your own
right.
at that point. Like, no matter what you do, if that's what your body specifically is designed to do, it's going to do it. It's mm-hmm. going to try to fulfill its, you know.
Well, destiny. I mean, and we're not suggesting that you can just eat like 7,000 calories a day and never get off the couch and say, oh, I'm genetically predisposed to be heavier. Like, obviously, no matter what your genetics are, you can make your situation worse by eating poorly or not being active. But there are, you know, some people that will eat well and work out intensely, and they just don't get the same results as others who do the same thing. And God, that's got to be like fucking frustrating.
Or the people who can just eat whatever they want because they're naturally thin.
Ugh.
They just have, I know, they just have that
those
metabolism.
People.
Fuck you guys.
I'm just kidding. Eating Taco Bell 3 times a day. Fuck you. I mean, I don't like that shit because it gives me diarrhea.
No. Oh, God.
It's getting rough.
Keeping it real.
Rough in here. There are definitely other contributing factors to weight gain or lack of weight loss, you know, if you're really stressed out or you don't have great sleep habits, which check and check.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly doesn't help you if that's your goal. But if you are already starting from a place of your genetics contributing to things like your metabolism, your cravings, your sense of fullness, your body fat distribution. This Harvard study we saw even said that the tendency to use eating as a way to cope with stress can be a genetic thing. Like,
wait, you can be genetically predisposed to eat when you're stressed?
Yeah.
That meaning?
I mean, if Harvard
whether
said
whether you gain
so,
weight or not.
Harvard said it's true.
I don't.
Well, it must be true.
It's Harvard.
It's Harvard.
They're smarter than me.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Gosh, Alicia, I feel like you have so but many stories.
I feel like trauma can come into the mix there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. If you, so trauma causes stress. And so
do you have an example you can give us?
Yeah. So trauma can lead to more stress eating. So then you're like, that's in your genetics, I guess, right? Is kind of what I'm gathering from that Harvard study.
Yeah.
And for me, I feel like, true story, my mom having me, seeing me gain weight after turning 21, which, I started drinking a ton. I was at the house and she was just upset and seemed irritated at me and was like, how much do you weigh? And I was like, I don't know. Like, what? And made me, at the age of, I think I was 21 or 22, get on the scale in front of her. And I remember seeing the number and being like, well, I'll say it. I'm not ashamed. I was 195. And I was like, okay, yeah, I've gained some LBs.
Also, you're 5'10".
I'm 5'10". But I was just like, I don't feel fat. But she made me feel mm-hmm. like I should think I'm fat and mm-hmm. that this is a problem, and has told me many times, every time there's a trauma incident like that, that the reason she's doing this or the reason she's saying this is because she loves me so much. She wants me to be happy. Well, what made you think I wasn't happy?
Right.
I'm living a really fun life. Mm-hmm. I just fucking turned 21. I'm partying. I'm like meeting dudes. I'm having fun. And you just made me feel like I'm worthless by telling me to get on a scale and show you as a fucking adult how much I weigh, which is none of your business.
No, that's fucking insane.
So how did you react to that in that moment?
In that moment, I felt like I kind of shriveled. Like, I think your body does a lot of
speaking. Did you
feel
ashamed?
Of course, uh-huh. ashamed. I felt like I should think I'm fat. And I kind of always agree Oof. With my mom in the moment, even if I don't think what she thinks. I've told my parents, I've never thought I was fat until y'all started telling me I was. And I would think it for a minute, and then I'd be like, but I still don't think that about myself.
Well, for the record, I don't think about you as a overweight person at all.
Yeah.
I think you look really healthy and really beautiful.
Thank you.
And so this story just blows my mind a little bit.
Yeah, it is crazy. And I think I blocked a lot of it out because, again, it's trauma. And every time I did notice, I think as I've gotten older, I've noticed when those situations would happen, I would totally binge eat.
Yeah.
Because it was comfort.
Because you go to the thing that you do to mm-hmm. cope with stress.
Mm-hmm.
A friend of mine I was talking with last week, I was telling him we were going to do this, and he was telling me that the first time he ever got a spanking, he was 8 years old, mm-hmm. and it was because he hadn't lost weight.
Ugh.
How fucking
that is
awful.
So young.
So young. So that's somebody who's clearly genetically predisposed to be bigger if they're 8 years old and not able to lose any weight and big enough that they need to lose, you know, quote, need
right.
to lose weight. And he, of course, then went to his coping mechanisms, which was to eat more.
Mm-hmm.
Just breaks my heart because I know who you're talking about, and he is so nice. And
he's the best.
Such a great guy. And to even envision him as a young boy being spanked, you know, like physically disciplined for being overweight is just, yeah. I mean,
it's disgusting.
It is. And that is something that could provoke, you know, an extreme response in the other direction, like an eating disorder.
For
which,
sure.
You know, is a whole nother issue.
Yeah. And you know, for him, he's talked with me a lot about it. And it was more of a, you know, compulsive overeating, which mm-hmm. is every bit the eating disorder that as the ones that we normally think of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, eating disorders are not just anorexia and bulimia.
Mm-mm.
There's all kinds of eating disorders, and it's, you know, really serious. People absolutely die from this. There are, you know, treatment centers devoted to helping people regain that control. A lot of people that have eating disorders are starting to couple that diagnosis with body dysmorphia, which, you know, there's a lot of formal definitions we've seen of body dysmorphia, but it's basically like where you continually obsess over perceived flaws in your appearance. It might not be necessarily weight, you know, but it could be like something in, you know, your face that you want to change,
mm-hmm.
or it's basically obsessing over a particular part of your appearance, and even if you change that, then you move that obsession to something else.
I've witnessed this, and I think, unfortunately, it's been a result of the body shaming and verbal abuse I've endured from my mom, because I'm the oldest of five, and I forget sometimes, because I wasn't living in the house the whole time that my brothers were younger, but both my brothers had eating disorders, I would call it, because they didn't eat. My mom, one of my brothers was actually underweight at one point, and she was taken into Children's Hospital to talk with a therapist and see about helping to get his weight up. And they both would skip meals constantly. And then my sister, unfortunately, has become obsessed with her body and her image, and has already had, she's 21 and has already had Botox and an eye surgery. That's more like a medical thing, but still, an eye surgery for her eyelid and a nose job. And I can't help but think, especially for my brothers, because they've never been told negative things about their body, but they watched me and my mm-hmm. sister get told negative things about their body, to the point where when we were just on vacation, my 17-year-old brother, I don't even think I've ever seen his stomach, because he never wears his shirt off when we go to the beach or the lake or anything.
Mm. I also think that young adults now realize how common plastic surgery is and how available it is to them, because I can remember when I was in high school, this one particular story, I was a freshman in high school, and I was in a math class that was more accelerated than my grade. So I had some older, like upperclassmen in that class. And there was a guy in that class that was very good looking, you know, very popular, overconfident upperclassman. And sometimes he would chat with me because we were both athletes, and I just, you know, thought that was great and didn't really know what to say to him because I was 14. And I can still to this day remember one time in math, him just casually saying to me, you know, you would be really cute if your nose wasn't so big. And I was like,
Jesus. Oh my God,
crushed in the moment because I felt like, well, there's nothing I can do about that because I didn't, like, to me, during that time, plastic surgery was like something that rich people in Beverly Hills did. Absolutely. You know, it's not like now where
only on the soap
opera. Like your sister who's 21, who lives in Seattle, is like, yeah, fuck yeah,
get a nose job,
you know. But still, I mean, it feels like a real option, which to me it didn't. And I remember growing up, and like, I read this article once about how young adults, they don't really grow into the nose that they have. Their face doesn't grow into it till their 20s or something. And I was like, oh, thank God. Maybe that's, you know.
That's heartbreaking.
It's just one comment from one cocky jackass dude who maybe he's even a really nice guy now, but he was young too, and he probably has no idea how long that stuck with me.
Mm. I mean, you still remember it. You're 40 and you're...
Yeah.
It's
I mean, now I'm just like, whatever.
No, but it made an impression.
But for years, when I was young, it had an impact on my body image, you know?
Yeah, well, the idea that you need some change in order to be what people
desirable,
want. Desirable. Right. Even if it's as simple as, like, you should put on some lipstick. Or whatever it is. Like, why do I need to change what's here? Or... even worse than that is you'd be a whole lot prettier if you'd smile. Like, what the fuck?
I hate it when people are just like, smile. And they walk by you and it's like...
I'm not existing in this world for your benefit.
Right.
I'm not here
walking... You would be a lot more aesthetically pleasing to me on the street if you would smile when I walk by
you. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. That's why I wasn't on the street in the first place. Please let me adjust my
pull my head out presentation. Of my ass so I can, you know... be pleasing to the eye.
Well, I love lipstick and I love smiling at strangers, but
that's I'm not going to judge. You're doing it for you.
Right.
When you want to do it, not on command like a fucking on trained command. Dog.
One thing that has been attacked outside of physical looks for me, I'm a very loud person. I fucking own it. And I have an array of different laughs. And I have
what's
a loud
on the menu?
One. And my parents have always made fun of my laughs as well since I was in high school. And they would always...
like, affectionally make fun of or, like...
No,
really
like,
make
mock it.
Oh,
okay. Not, like, meanly, but just mock it. And they would always tell me that... and I do think I do this because I've noticed it in myself, but, like, I can't help it. When I'm around certain people, I sometimes take on their laughs.
It's like if you're around somebody with an accent and you try to talk like that,
totally.
But you don't mean to.
Right.
And then you end up sounding like a terrible Brit.
Every time I'm around a British person.
Exactly.
I'm like, hello.
Me or glass so I can give you more Prosecco.
I'm sorry. Prosecco break.
Prosecco break. But anyway, so
well, you too. Oh,
I've literally been told by my parents, don't laugh like that or don't laugh too loud or don't be too loud. Particularly when it comes to dating.
Don't take up too much space,
right.
Little Alicia.
It's just like nitpick.
It
right?
is. It's amazing.
Like, get on the scale. Don't laugh like that. Don't be too loud. Like,
yeah.
It's got to take a toll, right?
Well, it does. But, you know, I've always said this. I'm surprised I've never had an eating disorder, never been severely depressed or developed any self-harm issues because I think the list of things I've heard are fucked.
I would agree with that, Steve.
I actually think it's made me stronger, and I feel like I want to have a platform for body positivity, and thank you for kind of including me in this to have that, because it's important.
What's interesting to me is that even though you have all these examples of your parents putting pressure on you to lose weight or do things differently, I know you're still pretty close with your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So that must mean that you believe that it's misplaced and they are coming from a place of love, but they don't realize how harmful it is. Is that
absolutely?
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yes.
But how do you feel?
I think that every parent does the best with what they are dealt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to wring my parents' necks for verbally abusing me, because that's what it is. I don't care what you want to call it.
Well, but you have talked with them about
it. I have, and I recently, and I, my mom told me it wasn't that bad. It's not like you were enduring verbal abuse every day. Like, you have to stop saying it was that bad, Alicia. And I looked at her and I said, stop telling me what my verbal abuse I endured, how it affected me. Because guess what? I'm 30 and we're still talking about it. And you still don't know how you fucked me up.
And she's kind of trying to control your narrative.
Yes. And telling me you're not going to get a man unless you're skinny. Unless, I mean, I have a perfect example. I was dating, about to date, one of my friend's brothers. Scandalous. And he was going to go fish.
At least he's a known commodity.
Right. He was going to go fish in Alaska, which is here, when you do that, you're gone for like 3 months. And so we had had lunch before he left, and we had both like kind of, we'd been friends for a while. And so we were both like, we like each other. Boom, boom. Let's establish that. Let's write while you're gone. And when you get back, let's try dating for real. Because you can't really talk when they're gone. Like, literally no communication. Big fishing
boat. Right. And this is common here. Like, a lot of guys go fishing in the summer because they make good money.
They make really good money.
And then they come back and, you know, go back to their school or job or whatever. But, yeah, it's, they're pretty much out of pocket for, like, 3 months.
Totally. So, I remember coming home and telling my mom how excited I was about the conversation we had, the lunch we had, and how we decided we were going to date when he came home. And the first thing out of her mouth was, well, I would just get in excellent shape while he's gone. So when he comes back, you are just hot.
Good enough.
Yeah. And he just only wants you and blah, blah, blah. And it's, I was just like,
because as you are, obviously you're not.
Is not good enough.
Right.
But even though he liked you enough before he left to say, like, yeah, come on, let's write letters, let's stay in touch. But so, it was still that, like, well, you need to make sure that your body is as good as the rest of you. And
so what happened? Did you get on the treadmill every day for 3 months?
No, I think, honestly, her comments like that deterred me from doing that.
Yeah.
And I just was like, ugh. So what happens? I think I'm not good enough for him. So we never dated.
Right. It's this, like, self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
I do think that other people can get in your head. I was mentioning earlier about how eating disorders are often coupled with body dysmorphia. And we've had a slew of high-profile celebrities that have come out in the past few years saying that that's been their experience. I mean, Sailor Brinkley Cook is probably the most recent, but Demi Lovato, Taylor Swift. I mean, I so appreciated Taylor Swift's comments in her Miss Americana documentary when she was talking about how she used to see pictures and obsess over her size in those pictures. And then when she started living a more healthy lifestyle and being, she's also very tall. You
know, being, she's my height. She's 5'10".
Yeah. Being a larger size. She's not large by any means, but how she has to recognize that that is more healthy for her body, and that sometimes she'll still go back and nitpick pictures and then she just shuts herself down. I thought that was a really positive message that I would love even to share with my kids. And Michelle, I know you've said that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But people, I think, can project their own body issues. Like, I think I had a doctor when I was pregnant with my older daughter who might have had an eating disorder. She had something going on there because I was pregnant for the first time. And with both my daughters, I gained like pretty much all my weight the first maybe 5 months. And then the last few months, I didn't gain much pregnancy weight. But I remember being newly pregnant for the first time and going in for appointments with this doctor, and every time I went in there, she talked about my weight, and as I got, which I, you know, it's normal, of course, but as I got further along in my pregnancy, it started to get more intense and, like, meaner. Like, she would say things to me like, oh, I, you know, I've noticed that you're gaining weight pretty quickly, and you better stop, because if you don't, you're going to have a really big baby and you're going to tear really bad and you're going to have a terrible labor.
That was so
and,
fucked up.
And like, I never had a baby before. So I was like, what? I mean, I was.
You're probably terrified.
Yeah. And I remember after the last appointment I had with her, it was so bad because I went in there and she was immediately started into my weight. And she was like, I want you to tell me every single thing you've put in your mouth today.
Fuck you.
And, and I was like, okay, well, like, I've had this. And I mean, frankly, I feel like it was pretty healthy. And she goes, carbs, carbs, carbs. That's all I hear is because I said, like, I had a peanut butter sandwich.
I might have slapped her.
And I was just like, holy shit. She goes, I want you to seriously consider going on the South Beach diet. And I was 5 months pregnant. And then as she's doing my exam, she's telling me that she went on vacation for a week. And then when she came back, she had gained 7 pounds and she couldn't believe it. Like that she could gain 7 pounds in a week. And that should just be a lesson to me about how careful you have to be. And she kept referencing like, your delivery is going to be terrible. You're going to tear horribly. Like, scaring the shit out of me, right?
Jesus.
So I hope you got the fuck away from that doctor.
Well, so here's what happened. After that last really bad appointment, I came home. I was crying. My husband at the time was like, what is going on? I explained it to him, and we went out to dinner, and I was like, should probably order from this, like, low-calorie menu. And he was like, fuck that. Bring us a chocolate cake. To the waiter, which was so nice and like exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. Yes. And so we were in this birthing class that was being run by the hospital. And I really liked the gal that was running the class, and she'd been a nurse there for a really long time. So after the class, I approached her and just said, I, you know, have some concerns. I don't know what to do. And I told her what was going on, and she was really upset. And she basically said, you look absolutely fine for where you're at in your pregnancy. You look great. And we have had this problem with this doctor before. And they immediately assigned me to a new doctor who was great. And I, you know, maintained what I learned was a healthy weight, had a fine delivery. And a few months after that, I learned that that doctor had been terminated. So
fuck yeah,
rightfully good. So
but if I had felt comfortable enough to go to that other gal that was running the class mm-hmm. and say something, I mean, I would have just sort of endured that. And obviously she had some kind of weight issues, like sure. She was talking about to me, her patient at my appointment, about her own weight gain as a result of a 1 week vacation. I think she probably had some kind of eating disorder or something, and she was just projecting it onto me. But it made me feel like shit, and I'm glad that I said something.
Me too.
And got away from her. Terrible.
You probably saved a lot of other pregnant women that were going to go see her too.
Yeah,
and go through the same shit.
It's sad though to have that be my first experience when I was pregnant, and totally. I was like living in a different city, and I hadn't lived there very long, and it just felt like alone, and it was hard, and I don't know. It was hard.
Not as shitty. Mm.
To go through all that on your first pregnancy is insane. I mean, pregnancy changes your body so much anyway. I've had 2 kids, and it changed a little bit after the first, and then the second one, you know, ruined me a little bit. little fucker. It's fine. He's really cute.
You better be worth it.
He's pretty worth it. No, my midsection, I'm not sure will ever be the same, honestly. I have what's called diastasis recti, where your abs don't actually go back together after they've stretched out and come apart to grow a human. yes. And I also have an umbilical hernia. But I'm not going to ever get back any kind of, quote, normal midsection on my own. It is torn apart, so to speak, enough that I would need surgery. And I'm, you know, I would be willing to do that if I could have the time to recover without needing to chase my 85-pound 7-year-old around and stop him from whatever he might be trying to do.
Well, you might have to have surgery. I mean, I did. I had the same thing with the muscle separation. And also, I had 2 kids in 18 months. Which was a lot of, like, stretching and contracting of skin. I had a lot of extra skin. My stomach muscles were badly separated. And I just decided after I had my kids to have that surgically repaired and remove that excess skin because it was not something that was ever going to be repaired on its own. And it was, you know, uncomfortable. And I wanted to be able to work out and kind of regain some sense of my pre-pregnancy body. And I'm happy that I did it. It's one of the best decisions that I ever made, but there's a significant recovery time. I mean, I was fortunate that my sister that I'm close to, who was very supportive and understanding, was able to come and help take care of me and my kids when I went through that, because it's a big surgery and it's a big decision. But you shouldn't be judged or punished for making choices like that if you're making them for you, not to please other people. And I'm so much more comfortable and happy, and I would encourage you to do the same if that's what you want to do for you, not for anyone else. Mm.
I do. I just need to somehow have the time to be able to recover from it. I'm so jealous you got to do it. I'm ready.
Well, I will be there to take care of you when you're ready.
Thank you.
The plan's already set.
So nice.
And Alicia will watch all our kids.
Yeah, okay.
Because yes.
I'm
Auntie
the kidless
Allie.
Person.
Auntie Allie's got it.
Do you think that it is ever okay for anyone besides a doctor to critique how your body looks?
Or maybe not even a doctor.
Well, or unless it's an OB doctor with an eating disorder.
Yes and no is my opinion.
Really?
Well, here's my example.
Okay.
So we've talked about this.
Have we?
About what we're attracted to. Everybody has certain things. Like, you guys like beards. I don't. You know?
Okay. You know what?
Hang on a second.
You guys. You guys are bitches.
That. Beards are great. And you know what?
You guys.
Every fucking dude is growing a beard right now in quarantine, so I will take them all.
Oh,
and you ladies can go to the desert.
No men to be found.
Beards.
So I don't know why we don't have boyfriends.
I don't either.
So it might be the burping.
We cut all that out.
So when it comes to physical body type, we have things that we're attracted to. And so the reason I say that yes and no, because I know someone who is married and their spouse gained weight and they are feeling less attracted to their spouse, which I get, because if that's not who you met and they gained 50 pounds, I do understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But do I think it's appropriate to be like, you got fat, you're fat, I don't like you anymore, or whatever the fuck someone's going to say? No, of course not. But I do think...
I just make them eat more.
Totally. Yeah. Would. But I do think that, like, you can make... If that's your spouse, you can make... I think it's totally fine to be like, I love you so much, I'll always be attracted to you, but let's work on our weight together or something, because you have gained weight and it's making me feel not as attracted to you.
I think that in that scenario, it's okay to have those conversations if you're kind about it.
Absolutely.
Right? But that's a marriage. They've been together for a long time.
Sure.
They have kids. They're
very different.
They know each other really well. They trust each other. If you are dating, say, Maybe you're on a dating app, like some of us.
Let's talk about it.
Oh
God.
What does that look like? Because now let's just acknowledge this up front. We've talked about a height thing.
Sure.
For us.
Totally.
And I think that it's maybe that's just as bad, because that's nobody can control their height, right?
Sure.
But that's, if we're honest, that's coming from a place of insecurity for us.
Well, that's the thing. So I personally, I'm 5'7". I'm a, you know, average body size. I am never going to be a skinny person. I am fine with that. I am comfortable with it. Don't care. But if I'm going to be attracted to someone, it typically is going to be, for me, a male who is bigger than me. Because I already have built-in insecurities about not being good enough. Because that, like everything we've just been talking about, there are so many ways in which none of us are good enough. And we need to change. We need to lose weight. We need to wear more makeup. So for me, typically, I'm not attracted to someone who is around my height or skinnier than me, because I already don't feel that dainty or feminine. Not that I'm looking to feel that way, but I think it's this deep internalized thing that I want to feel like the woman, the smaller.
Do you think there's any fear of being judged, like from the guy, if he is smaller than you and
maybe
you know, you're worried, like, he's going to look at you and think, oh, she's bigger than I am or something like that. I mean, I know that guys struggle with, just like we worry about not being skinny enough, they worry about being too skinny, you know?
Right.
And that could be a genetic predisposition, too. Like, it's just rough, you know? Everyone has this idealistic, like, let's talk about the apps that force you to pick your body type, right?
I hate that.
So there's most of the apps, you have to identify what your body type is. So that you could pick athletic, or you could pick curvy, or
average,
or a few extra pounds, or overweight, depending on whatever terminology that app uses.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks because you kind of freeze at that point because you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, would people consider me average? Would people consider me curvy? Would people consider me a few extra pounds? You don't want to be dishonest. But at the same time, you're like, well, you know, if I think I'm average, will somebody think I'm lying if I don't put curvy or a few extra pounds? Or if I put curvy, will somebody think, why'd you put curvy? You're average, you know? So there's that, like, stress about what's an honest representation, because it feels very subjective. And then also, you know, people, any category on a dating app, people can use as a filter.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go on the dating app and search and say, I only want to see people who say their body type is athletic and average. Well, what if you put curvy? That means that you're going to be filtered out of all of those people's dating searches. Even though, I don't know, if they met you in person, they might be like, damn, she's hot, you know?
Right.
And totally. So
they'll never get to know what they could have had,
like,
right
this,
here.
Mic drop.
It's like this fucked up pressure in that moment. Like, well, you better decide what your body type is,
right?
Because, and it better be accurate, because you don't want to lie. And you want to pop up in searches for people that you might be a good match with, that might think, you know, they're attracted to you. So
some of those people, the fact that you're filtered out for some of those people, I think is probably a good thing, because some people are assholes about that stuff. And whether or not they are, you know, good looking or perfectly fit themselves, they think that they deserve some sort of fucking model.
You know what I love is that the guys who, there's always these guys that have pictures on their profile with women. Like, some guys
With other women?
Yeah, some guys will say in the caption, like, this is my sister or whatever. But
okay, allowed.
That's fine. But there are plenty of guys that have, like, a picture of them with a girl who looks like a fucking model. And there's no caption. And I'm like, what does this mean? Like, is this your silent standard? Like, hi, this is, you know, I can pull. This is what I can pull. So
they think they're more desirable. Like, look what I could have.
Like look what I can get.
Me?
So this better be what you look like, or something. And I'm
gross.
Just, I would never put a picture of myself with an ex-boyfriend or a guy. I mean, maybe, like, with my brother or something, if we were, like, at a wedding and we took a picture. But I fucking absolutely put, this is my brother, in the caption. But it's just, like, sort of feels like a passive-aggressive, like, hey, this is what you better look like. But
yeah,
what are some of the messages you've gotten related to body image or body types on dating apps? Oof.
My favorite that I see, well, it's not my favorite, it's my, like, worst favorite.
My least favorite.
Uh-huh. I see it all the time is, if you don't work out, neither will we.
Oh, fucking catchy.
Bitch, really?
Look, we know that not literally everyone hikes every day.
Oh,
so
stop fucking pretending.
Like, CrossFit is starting to feel like a cult. Like, oh shit, you do CrossFit?
Starting to feel like a cult?
You know, interesting thing, one time I was swiping at work, and I work with my aunt, and we were sitting back there, and I was like, oh, this guy's so hot, but I tend, because I don't have a six-pack, this is a good one, because I don't have a six-pack, I don't swipe right on guys that have a six-pack.
Me too.
Because I think they probably wouldn't like my body type.
Right, what is that?
It's fucked. And my aunt goes, why?
No, I do that too.
She was like, why not? You don't think you could get a guy that has a six-pack? You're gorgeous. And I was like, thanks. But I was also like, oh, yeah. Like, why do I think that?
I think of it as a lifestyle thing. If they have a six-pack, they're probably someone who makes a priority of being super active. And
they spend, like, they fucking hit the gym as soon as they wake up.
Spend hours in the gym. Mm-hmm.
Which there's nothing wrong with that.
I'm like, should I take a shower today?
Exactly. I did, FYI. You're welcome.
Oh, fuck.
But yeah, and it's the same if I see every single picture on a profile is them outdoors. Like, I'm kayaking, I'm hiking, I'm on a mountain snowboarding.
But yeah, it is a lifestyle thing.
It's a lifestyle thing.
Like skiing. Like, if every guy's, if a guy's profile, every picture is skiing. I'm like, well, I don't ski, and clearly that's, like, your first love, so...
We're not going to fit, because I can't go do that with you.
Swiping left.
Right.
And I hear that. That's true.
I think that's part of it.
Okay, and I think that's fair, because if I'm not hitting the gym 20 hours a week, and you are, that's going to cause conflict in our dating life.
Right.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but it's probably going to cause... Because I have, actually, it's coming back to me right now.
Ooh.
Of dudes that I've been talking to, and they're like, well, I gotta hit the gym. And I'm like, okay, cool, that's awesome.
Did I ever
tell
you guys about the mailman that I dated?
No, please tell us.
Who was this mailman?
Mailman? Yeah. You're just like, mailman, plumber.
Did we get a fantasy? What's happening? Oh, you're talking about something else. I'm not made for another episode.
We'll go there later.
So I dated this really hot mailman. Like, he was hot. He would get, like, notes in the mailbox from customers.
Stop.
No, I'm serious. Being like, hey, like, what's up? You know, you want to join me and my husband or whatever?
Stepford wives.
We kind of laugh about it. He was super hot, but this was his life. Like, he loved his dog. Cool, whatever. He loved the gym. And he straight told me, he was like, this is my day. I get up in the morning. I walk my dog. I go to the gym. I come home. I go to work. He went to work really early because he was a mailman. And then he would get done, and then he would walk his dog, and then he would go to the gym again.
Jesus.
A second time. And then he would, like, eat dinner, and then he'd go to bed really early so he could get up and go to the gym in the morning.
There's no room for
anything. And I was like, I mean, he was, like, great to look at, but, like, didn't have anything to talk about. And then when we broke up, I was like, well, I feel like we have totally different lifestyles, and I have... you know, my kids and all these things. And he was like, yeah, I get it. You just don't think I'm ready to, like, take on your kids or children or whatever. And I'm like, well,
you're not.
I mean, like, you take care of your dog and you go to the gym and you deliver mail. Like, that's your life. And I'm, like, working and taking care of kids and doing all the shit. And maybe that's not fair because he hasn't had kids. And so he hasn't had the opportunity.
I have a question. I have a question. So,
yes, when sex was great.
Oh.
I'm glad. Get it, girl.
No. I have another question, though.
And we're back.
What? Yeah. When you were dating, did he skip either of his daily walks or gym?
Oh, no.
No. When did you see him?
Yeah, good question.
There was usually, like, a window of time. That, like, was
4:30 to 5:30 before dog walk, gym, and bed?
You're fucking right. I mean, like, it was a window for sure. So that's only sustainable for so long, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I just knew. I was like, this isn't going to happen.
Any other specific stories, ladies, of dating and body image specifically?
I have two quick ones.
Boom. Go for it.
Okay.
Wait, we don't want to hear more about mailman sex?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty basic. I think you guys heard it all.
Okay. In and out.
Anyway. Oh my God. When I first went on dating apps, I like literally had never taken a selfie in my life, and all of the pictures that I was using were pictures that other people had taken. And pretty much, you know, I don't really take solo photos. So they all had, they were like me and my kids. So I didn't want to put my kids on the dating app, so I would crop them out. So it'd basically be me like waist up or whatever. And people, there's an expectation. People want to see full body photos on dating apps because they want to see what your body looks like, which is interesting, but that's what it is. And so for a while, I didn't understand that and I didn't have that. And I would get these messages from guys. Like one time I got multiple messages when I didn't have any full body pictures that just said body shot. That's all. Ew. It wasn't even like, hey, what's up, blah, blah. It was like body shot. Like, I won't even consider talking to you unless I see a body shot. And then
deleted.
One time I was talking to a guy and we were maybe going to get together and grab a drink. And he was like, hey, just so you know, I noticed you don't have any full body pictures on your profile. And like, I'm totally down with curvy girls. I don't mind that. But I don't date huge. So if that's you, dick, then let's not get together. And I was like, I'm not huge by any means, but you sound like such a dick that I'm not really interested in hanging out.
We won't be meeting.
Those are the kind of messages that you get. It's like crazy. People feel so entitled to comment on your body or mm-hmm. body expectations that it's like mind-blowing.
I do wonder, though, because I've had a number of guys thank me for looking like my pictures when I show up at a place. So maybe they're just getting conned constantly and they don't know filters. What to expect. It's
filters.
It's the fucking filters.
I was just going to say that. I've had multiple guys tell me the same thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, sorry you've been catfished so much.
Well, right. And maybe there are just people who are using 10-year-old pictures or
do better.
Photoshopped to shit.
Come on.
Right. And that's what they're used to showing up at the bar to meet them?
Well, the alternative to dealing with these dating apps, though, is to get set up, right, by, like, somebody that you know. Like, Leisha, I remember your parents tried to set you up once recently. And
what
I,
a great story.
Oh, boy.
I set Michelle. Let's hear Alicia's story, though.
Yeah. Okay. So, my parents have season tickets to the Huskies, and that's our college team, by the way.
bow down.
I'm just, like, pretending like everyone knows.
No, they need to know.
Bow down. So, this was years ago. I think I was 5 years ago. I was 25. So, me being tall, my parents were sitting next to this younger single man who's, like, 6'6 or something. And they were like, you should meet our daughter. She's really tall.
That's all it takes.
Right? And you're single.
They know that you're attracted to tall men.
Exactly. She's single. You're single. You should go on a date. So, like, whatever. The match happened. Number were exchanged. And I met up with him. And we had coffee. And I remember thinking, like, he's cute. But, like, I wasn't really that attracted to him. And I was like, bonus that you're tall. But, like, I wasn't, like, facially, I wasn't super attracted to him. And more than that, we just didn't have a lot in common. We didn't have the same goals or ambitions. That's me making a lot of assumptions on one date. But when you know, you know. Mm-hmm. I think everyone has an intuition.
Part of it is a chemistry
thing. It totally is. And I was just kind of like, not really feeling it. So the date ends totally fine. I come home and my mom calls me and she's like, oh my gosh. She's like way over the top and just so excited. Can't wait to hear about the date. And I'm like, yeah, I remember this very vividly. I was in my bathroom and I was like, it was fine. We had coffee. We don't really have a lot in common. He's not as like as ambitious as me. And I don't know where we stand on things. There's not a lot of chemistry. And I was like, and plus I just wasn't that physically attracted to him.
Fair.
Sure. And it was silent.
I mean, clearly you gave it a shot.
Right. And it was silent on the phone. And I hear, you know, well, maybe you, if you're going to stay at this size, maybe you should just realize this is as good as it's going to get for you.
Oh, fuck off.
Oh, my God.
And I this is the last time. So 5 years ago, almost 6 years ago, is about the last time my mom's made a comment on my body because it was so painful to hear. And it still is something I talk about and can get pretty upset about if I do for too long because it's really sad that my mom said that to me over the phone.
So she was basically saying, I want to make sure I understand this. She was basically saying, well, you should settle for this because that's as good as you're going to get.
Absolutely.
Fuck.
Because I'm big. That was mentioned.
And you're not big, by the way.
Bigger. She would say, because you're bigger and you, basically you refuse to lose weight, Alicia. Which I'm like, what? Maybe I'm just living and I'm just not losing loads of weight like you want me to and be a stick like you were.
I mean, I feel like maybe that's projecting.
Oh, well, for sure.
I think with parents specifically, they look at you as an extension of themselves. Mm-hmm. And they feel like whatever you're doing is reflecting on them. It's a judgment of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they place their ideals on you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so sorry she said that to you. That's fucking awful. Yeah, it was awful.
That's the worst. I think that's the worst thing that's ever
I feel
happened.
Like Ugh. I have heard you say some other things about, like, you know, like, didn't your dad say something to you about, like, meeting someone at a bar? Can you remind me?
What yeah.
What did he
say? I mean, it's so interesting because the comments are just so, like, said so nonchalantly.
Oh, casually, yeah. Because they don't think it's a big deal.
Right. And so, and the worst part was, and this is something I've been working on in therapy, my father and I did not have an emotional relationship. He was one of those fathers that was there, but just not emotionally there. So he would say things to my mom, and my mom would report them back to me. Ugh. So here you are having no relationship emotionally with your father, and then hearing comments that he would say behind my back, which made me feel even more worthless and undesirable by a man. Because of the things he would say. And one of those things was, my dad said, people probably think, I must have been in my early 20s, people probably think Alicia's really pretty when she's sitting at a bar and they walk in and see her until she stands up.
God.
And I remember when my mom told me, your dad said this. She's also told me, my dad has said, you're turning into the pretty fat girl. And I'm just like, I mean, honestly, at the ages that I heard these comments, I was silent. I didn't know what to fucking say. You know when someone says something so appalling that you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe that was just said to me. I would never say that to somebody.
Well, and plus,
I don't know what to say.
Your parents are authoritative figures
yes.
over you, and
yeah.
you've always been a respectful person to
I
your
am,
elders.
And still
so.
Am. And I love them.
But how do you reconcile that now as... you know, a 30-year-old woman wanting to be respectful, but at the same time having enough experience in life to understand that this is, those are pretty fucked up things to say. Like, if you had a daughter, you would probably never
oh,
say those things
I would never.
To your daughter. So how do you reconcile that now?
I just have a lot of compassion for knowing, one, my parents had me really young. My mom was 19, my dad was 21. And they were very young and just boom, instant parents and instant married couple. And they didn't get to live as much life as I've lived.
Right.
I'm 30 years old. I have no kids and I've been married.
Can you imagine them at 30 compared to you at 30?
Oh, at 30, my mom was pregnant with like number 4 or something.
God damn.
And
no thanks.
Number 3? number 4. Cause
hard pass.
Her last number 5 was born when she was 34.
Oof.
So, I mean, it's intense. I mean, it's...
I'm tired.
I know.
About that.
So,
exhausting.
She... Both my parents never had the ability or the... Not the ability. The opportunity to grow as adults, find out what they like, find out who... Travel, fuck up, make mistakes, do all these things. I mean, we could go on to a whole other podcast about other things my parents have said and done to me. but... With the body thing, it's been a constant, and I just don't understand why. They always say it's coming from a loving place, and they've done some serious damage. And I, now that I'm at this age, I realize the damage they've done, and I've brought it to their attention multiple times. They don't remember the comments they've said.
No, of course not.
Why do you think they don't remember? Like, if you say, oh, you said this thing to me, and it was very hurtful, and they say... do they say like, oh, I never said that?
I just brought up the comment about the sitting at the bar until I stand up to my parents, both of them. And my dad was like, I never said that. And my mom was like, your dad would never say that, Alicia.
It's like the kind of thing you forget. I mean, like, how would you just make because that
it
up?
It wasn't impactful to them.
Well, exactly. And the infuriating thing is because we were talking about how casually they would say these things to me. But to me, I remember. Why the fuck would I make that up?
Right.
I wouldn't. I'm a very honest person. And I was... So it infuriates me when they don't remember. So that's why I don't put any more energy in trying to have them understand fully. It's my journey. I'm doing my healing. I'm doing my part. And they don't comment on my body anymore ever since my mom said that 5 years ago. And if they do, they will hear backlash from me.
Good.
Yeah.
And regardless of...
You're really strong now compared to
absolutely
when you were so young. And I so appreciate that you're using that voice and other vehicles like social media to, you know, spread that message, that body positivity and support others.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, all these comments help feed a deep, like, internalized fear that we aren't enough as we are, right? But there's no scenario in which it's okay for you to critique the way a person looks unless they've specifically asked you. So,
yeah.
What's our Prosecco theory here, ladies?
That, you know, my Prosecco theory is you should respect anybody else's body, no matter if it's aesthetically pleasing to you, no matter if it differs from your own, no matter if, you know, it's something that they have achieved through a lot of hard work and exercise. I mean, that is not an open forum for you to comment on. And it doesn't matter if they're a celebrity. Like, don't fucking say anything on social media. If it's your friend, don't say anything unless they ask you. Like, that is really sensitive and really personal. And to a certain extent, sometimes it's out of people's control. So shut the fuck up.
Yeah. It's not open for discussion. My body is not here for you to talk about, for you to comment on.
It's not a graffiti wall.
No.
And just remember that the average American woman is actually a size 16 to 18.
That's right.
My message that I would want to end with is just love your body, love yourself, and if you are struggling with that, deal with the trauma that made you not love yourself or love your body. Whether that's therapy, meditation, or I don't even know, finding a hobby, finding an exercise, getting into cooking, or whatever you want to do to start loving yourself and your body, because that's where I've had to go. Get to that point where you love yourself and you love your body. And if you struggle with that, find people that you can confide in. I've confided in both of you. People can confide in me.
We love you. You're beautiful.
Thanks, babes. You are too. If somebody wants to confide in me, reach out to me. We can give you my info. You can reach out to me.
What's your, how do they find you on Instagram?
You can find me on Instagram at AliciaMarie_hair because I'm a hairstylist. That's the hair part. So I can also help you with your external hair needs.
When phase two starts.
When phase two starts.
Well, and don't forget that you can always contact us. I mean, we love to hear your thoughts on these types of issues. And, you know, if you want to get in contact with Alicia or any of us, just go ahead and reach out and we're happy to set you up.
Absolutely. You can find us at ProseccoTheory.com. You can email us directly at cheers@ProseccoTheory.com. And we're all over social media at ProseccoTheory.
Yay.
Alicia, thank you so much for joining us
tonight.
Thanks,
girls.
Yeah, we really appreciate you being here. And I'm sure that a lot of that isn't easy to share, but it's impactful and it's an important message. And we just so appreciate you being strong enough and secure enough to share all your stories. So
well, thanks
we
for
love
having
you.
Me.
Thanks
I appreciate
for being
it.
Here. Cheers, girls.
Cheers.
Big butts and I cannot lie.
You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with a nitty bitty waist and a round thing in your face,
you get sprung.